Voice Radio.
Hello and welcome to A Kind Voice on Movies. I'm your host, David Levinson, and A Kind Voice is kind of an exploration of how people use their kind voices, and a little bit easier to use your kind voice in good times. Today's film will kind of explore how people find their kind voice as the rain sets in, when things aren't as good. So the film is called As the Rain Sets In, and we have its writer-director, James Hughes, with us. James, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. It was such a beautiful Kickstarter video, as good as any movie you have ever seen. So I want to get into that. We have a link right in the show description for the Kickstarter. But can you give the folks a little bit of an overview on what the movie's about?
Yeah, okay. So it's a short film. It's called When the Rain Sets In. And it's a sweeping love story of Kenzie and Traden, a couple in their mid-20s who've been swept up in a whirlwind six-month romance and find themselves confronting a painful question. Has their love story come to an end? So what this story does that other films don't do, it starts towards the end of the story and we work backwards. And so When the Rain Sets In is a love story in reverse.
What initially inspired you to want to make this movie?
So we've all been in that cafe, that bar, that restaurant, and we've looked across at the other table and we've seen that couple sitting there and they're going through an emotional moment and we feel awkward. Should we keep staring? Should we look away? And we're curious, you know, what's led to this? This couple that used to be so in love, you know, what has led to this moment? And so we've all seen Kenzie and Traden everywhere we go. And we're now going to explore that very scene and show how love can unravel. You know, how do we react when the rain sets in? And that was the inspiration.
So how do you go from an inspiration like that, which is powerful, to making the decision to make a movie and putting together all the pieces?
Yeah, so I worked on the opening exchange to start with, the opening conversation that they have. And because the story jumps through time, so it's a very non-linear story. We're following their love story while we're seeing them at the table. And I went on a recce for around 8 months to about 100 locations to find the right locations that were going to be in the script. And this was based on a number of factors, you know, how they would look on screen, how they would fit within our budget. And then I spent a year writing the script. So around 2 years developing the story of these characters, and then a year writing the script. It's a short film, but I wanted this to be the very best of me. It's the most me of any project I've ever done. So I would spend, you know, probably a month or 2 months just on one exchange in the script until it was perfect, until it was exactly what I wanted. I didn't want to rush this. So then I spent a year on the script. When the script was locked and it was to the level that I wanted, I then approached the team that I wanted. And I got a pretty incredible reaction to the script when it went out.
It comes from such an authentic place. You could just tell that from the preview on the Kickstarter. When you went around to the places, what about a place spoke to you, made you say this should be part of the movie?
I just, you know, as a writer-director, the scripts are very important to me. The written word, how they are in the scene is very important to me. But as a director, I think visually as well. So I'm constantly looking at a location and I can see it. I can see the scene and some locations I would go to and I would look logistically in terms of where we could put the camera and where we could do certain things that it wouldn't work. And then some locations which normally don't allow short films in were very excited by this particular project and are going to allow us to shoot there, one of which is Tate Britain. So we've been very fortunate with the locations, but it comes from experience. So you just have a feel for what's going to work for a particular scene. And it's about finding the right location. And then I work as a producer as well. So I think logistically in terms of how far that is away from the other location that we're looking at, and because you have to move equipment. So it's very much an experience-based decision, and that has really helped really lock down the locations for this project.
Then your main characters are Kenzie and Traden. How did you come up with those characters? What about, starting with Kenzie, what about that character made her a good fit for this story?
Well, to give your listeners a bit of an exclusive, because this isn't mentioned on the Kickstarter campaign website, is Kenzie and Traden are American. And Kenzie is without doubt the most complex character I've written, which you'll see when you watch the film. I spent about a year inside her head. And this is somebody that's been, and we've all been there, where we've been completely broken by somebody else. And it's how you build yourself back up from that and how you then approach new relationships, new situations. And I spent a year on her story, just writing things that she would be in that are not in the film, just writing a whole backstory, getting to know her to the point where she was very much real to me, and where I could actually hear her voice talking. You know, sounds crazy, but I mean, I could hear what she was saying and how she would react to things. Like if I said something, I knew Kenzie would react and would say this, or she would look away. She was very real. And that's how I approach every film. Until they're real to me, I can't make them real to the audience. So, yeah, Kenzie is very much somebody that I've spent more time developing than any other character. And I'm hoping that will show when people watch the film.
It's impressive how much thought you put into getting the character right. Now, Andrea Deck plays Kenzie, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So, and what about Andrea made her a good fit for the character?
Well, Andrea is somebody I'd seen in a few projects. So she's American. She lives here in London. But it was more a case of how she is a character, as an actress on screen. She just has something about her that always has impressed me as an actor. And obviously, you know, Andrea has done a lot of great projects. You know, worked with Ridley Scott. She's worked with Tom Hooper, who won an Oscar. She's worked on The Crown. Andrea doesn't need to do short films, but I was very much determined to have her on board. I could see her as Kenzie, I approached her agent, and I had no finance in place, no shoot dates, which is unheard of to approach talent at that stage, but I really wanted her for this role. I couldn't see anyone else playing that role, and thankfully she agreed to read the script, and she loved it, and she loved the whole project and story, and she's remained committed to it, you know, from day one. So yeah, I'm very happy that it's Andrea, and you know, I can't wait to show audiences her performance.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, did you do like a read-through with Andrea?
No, so you know, I had various showreel clips. I had various clips from other projects, certain scenes that could have been taken from the backstory of When the Rain Sets in terms of her nuances and her performance. And it's a case of you just, you know, get a sense of somebody, in the sense that, you know, I've worked with over 150 actors in my career. So you just know actors, you know, who's going to be suitable for a particular role. It's just a gut instinct you have. And, Andrea was somebody that I believed 100% was the right person for this. And Andrea, when she read it, you know, felt the same. It's a role she loves very much. So, yeah, it's a case of trusting your gut instinct at times.
Wow, that's a really interesting answer to have that good a grasp. I guess experience really refines your knowledge on how to see those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you'll hold auditions or you'll do test screenings to ask actors to read for parts. But sometimes you just know, you know, sometimes when you're working on a project, you just know who it's meant to be. And all the stars sort of aligned that it was meant to be Andrea. So I'm very happy on that front.
And then for the trading character, you have Toby Sebastian. Can to talk about how you found him.
Yeah, so Traydon is so the way the story works is Kenzie has very much reached that point where she feels that they're going to be happier apart, and Traydon believes he's met the girl of his dreams, that the girl that he's supposed to spend the rest of his life with, and it's that conflict that they're having in the film. Now, for Traydon, he is our romantic lead. He looks very much at the world as a romantic, and he's a very well-dressed individual who deserves to find happiness. You know, he's somebody that I believe the audience will root for a lot in the film. And, you know, we needed to find somebody that not only worked in that environment, in that role, but also somebody that complemented Andrea in terms of the way that she works as an actor. And Toby is somebody that I had seen in a few productions, and obviously he's most well known for Game of Thrones, where he played Tristane Martell. And he just had something about him. And he now does the show is sort of another side to him. He now does gigs where he goes with his guitar and he writes songs. He's a singer-songwriter as well. So you get a real sense of who he is as a person online as well when you follow Toby. And again, he's somebody that, you know, was an ambitious person to go after for this, but I felt he was the right actor for the role. And it, like I say, it's a role I spent a year writing, so I was very particular about who I approached. And his agency were impressed with the project and agreed to let him read it, and he came back and, like Andrea, just said he loved the script and was very keen to do it. And at no point has either Andrea or Toby tried to pull out of the project. You know, they've remained committed from the first read. So I sort of knew that, you know, when you spend time on a script, when you get it to a particular level, you know, a lot of filmmakers will probably think, oh, I can't go after this person, I can't go after that person because they only do features or they only do TV. Actors love great roles, and it can be in any medium what that role is. So never feel that you aren't good enough to approach them.
I think your passion for telling the story probably attracts the good energy needed to make the story.
Yeah, I mean, it is a story and a film that's consumed me. For about 3 years now, where I just, I even have a playlist of songs that I listen to that inspire me, that I wrote the script to. I have visuals from the locations that I went to, photographs. I have bios for the characters, because this is, although it's a short film, you know, we're telling a much bigger story here, a much bigger story to tell of their relationship. So there is a potential that this short film could be developed to a feature film, and we get to explore the full relationship of Kenzie and Traydon.
Well, I hope that happens. It seems like you're on a really good path. We're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back after this.
There's nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, an open ear for when you need to be heard, a warm heart, we can make that choice to be a kind voice.
Hi, I'm Kathy King, founder and executive director of Canines with a Cause, and I use my kind voice to create awareness of the importance of companion animals in our world and their ability to heal a broken body. Canines with a Cause rescues dogs from local shelters. The dogs are placed with incarcerated women where they live and train as companions or service animals for veterans battling PTSD. We also provide free training classes for the veterans, which enables them to develop skills to train their own dogs and become experienced handlers. The dogs provide the veterans with many companionship, motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and additional non-judgmental love. Learning to train a dog also helps the veterans out of their home and get involved again in life. It helps them develop emotional coping skills and resilience. The dog and handler create a strong bond through working together, and the dog is trained specific tasks to help the veteran lead a more productive, less stressful life. Canines with a Cause strives to make the world we all share a kinder, more connected place. We do this by healing traditional love. Separately, it's difficult for a dog in a shelter, an incarcerated woman, or a veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder to share their kind voice. But by creating a channel process, bringing them together, they'll be a kind voice for each other. If you would like to know more about Canines with a Cause, visit our website, caninswithacause.org.
A Kind Voice Radio.
And welcome back to Kind Voice on Movie Host David Lenz. We're talking with James Hughes about his film, When the Rain Sets In. James, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Can you talk about why this film is so important in the times that we live in now?
Well, you know, we as a human race, I mean, we've all experienced that moment in a relationship where we've had a particular relationship where we felt we were using the allure of romance to fill a void in our life, or we started dating them to recover from previous relationships. You know, there are relationships in our lives where we got involved with them and we sort of rushed in. Coincidence and convenience has played a big factor. And then those relationships become quite intense and they become longer than we expect. And at some point, we have to be fair to ourselves and fair to the other person and assess where we are. And that's very much the inspiration for this particular story, because love is something that, you know, is important, but it's important that it's with the right person. And it's not fair on individuals if you mislead them or if your heart starts to fade from the relationship. You need to confront that. And so, yeah, it's a story that's I felt very passionate about telling for a long time. I grew up watching a lot of American classic movies. My favorite movie is Casablanca. So love stories on screen is something that's always fascinated me. I've always been keen to explore that myself and tell a modern love story, because in today's society, no matter where we live in the world, it's very difficult now together. There's so many pressures on a relationship, there's so many temptations, there's so much distance sometimes between individuals who are dating. It's just very, very difficult now to maintain that spark, to maintain that interest that we had on day one. And so I wanted to explore the modern love story, you know, how in the world that we live in.
It's a very fascinating thing you're doing. Can you talk about why you chose to make these characters Americans?
Like I said, I grew up watching American love stories. When I started to hear Kenzie talk in my head, and that sounds crazy, but I could hear her talking. She was speaking American, and I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then Traden started responding, and he too was American, and that's just how it developed. And I've not told an American story before. The previous short film, they were British accents and actors, but this particular story was to, you know, pay homage to the great American love stories that I grew up watching, such as American in Paris, Casablanca, and Singing in the Rain, obviously, and to really do a modern take of that. So the voices were just what came to my head. I didn't set out to make them American or make them British or make them Italian. It was when she started to talk, Kenzie, that's what I heard.
Now, as you started thinking about this movie and playing the music, what was the sequence that happened for you to be able to hear these voices?
So almost all of my projects, this is going to make me sound like a crazy person. Almost all of my projects start by I hear conversation and I hear the characters talking. And it could be a case of they're talking in a particular scene or they're talking at the start of the film. But I can hear this exchange. And then because I'm coming up with ideas all the time, you know, I'm hearing lots of conversations, lots of characters talking. And then over a period of time, those conversations narrow down to one. And only one is grabbing my interest. Only one is honing me to write it. And that's, for me, is very important because it needs to be a story that I'm really invested in and really connected to it if I'm going to then try and give it an audience. Because I think it's very easy to just go with the first idea, to go with the first come. But so I listened to their first exchange. And like I say, that first exchange just came into my head, and I could hear that entire first minute of the film. And then I developed that in length to hear more of what they were talking about. So I was discovering the characters through that dialogue.
The creative process is terribly interesting, so I'm glad you shared that. And you made this very beautiful Kickstarter video that was funny, it was entertaining, and it explained the film with such clarity. Did you put a lot of time into that Kickstarter video?
Yeah, so I'd never turned to crowdfunding before. So my two current short films, I self-finance. And but with this particular story, it's a more expansive story. It requires a bigger budget. So I had to turn to Kickstarter. And obviously, if you're going to turn to Kickstarter, there's lots of examples on Kickstarter. And you can read successful cases. You can read cases where they didn't get the funding. And I'd watched quite a few videos. And the videos, you know, were sort of hit and miss for me in terms of me connecting to them. And, you know, I'm somebody that, you know, I want this project to be the best of me. And I wanted the same for the Kickstarter. So whether it's successful or not, that video, that page is going to be the best of me. And I spent quite a lot of time writing the pitch that was going to be said in the video. I then even went to a number of locations to find the right location for us to shoot in. Unlike many Kickstarter videos, who, if you've watched many of them on Kickstarter, they seem to be shot in camera, so the sound is in camera, so the sound can't be heard very well, or it's, you know, a webcam or a very simple, straightforward pitch. But I had a location recce, I had a sound recordist, I had a cinematographer on board. It was quite a mini production, and we shot for about 3 hours. We had the location for about 3 hours. And I wanted to find a location that where we could move around in that location, it would give a sense of a different space so that it's interesting for the viewer, because you don't want to, like many Kickstarter videos, where the person is just sitting down and just talking into camera for 3 minutes. You know, it's a visual medium, and you need to move around. You need to explore other interesting angles, interesting locations. So we found a beautiful cocktail club in London that really loved the project, really loved what we were doing. And so we went there. And yeah, it was a very interesting experience for me, because obviously I'm normally behind the camera. But in this instance, I was taped up with the microphone under the heat of the lights, because we had lights with us as well, talking directly into camera. And I had, me being me, I'd rehearsed the pitch, you know, quite a lot leading up to that particular shoot. And then, yeah, so we recorded it, and it was on a Saturday afternoon. I was very happy with what we recorded. The sound recordist and the DP, who I'd not met before, said that the pitch came across really well and sounded very passionate, which was great to hear. And then, unlike almost every Kickstarter video, which then just gets posted online, I then put that video through post-production as well. So that went through a grading process and a sound mix at a professional studio for both, which is unheard of for Kickstarter videos. But I wanted that video to be a reflection of how professional the film was going to be. Because if you want people to invest in your story, invest in your project, you need to show that, you know, this is a cut above. And, you know, I wanted to make a video that would stand out from the masses. So I spent a great deal of time and a great deal of my own money to make a video that I would be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely hit that. I mean, it's authentic, and how you mix the clips in, you kept it fun and moving. I think it's going to be like the gold standard for other people who want to make videos for their movies. And it's quite successful. You know, you set a goal and you just blew past that goal and you're still going.
Yeah, so the way Kickstarter works is it's an all or nothing campaign. So you can set parameters for that. Normally it's 30 days and you set a total that you want to achieve. And that total has to be met in pledges or you lose everything. So, for example, if you've asked for $5,000 and on day 30 you're at $4,900, you don't get any of that money. It just disappears. You have to hit the target. So that puts a lot of pressure on the individuals who are launching campaigns. But it also, you know, it's also exciting because everybody has something to work towards. So when I launched this, it was my first campaign. I had no idea how it was going to go. I mean, I spent a great deal of time working on campaign page as well, writing the contents, doing the pictures. And obviously, prior to any of this happening, I'd spent around 7 to 8 months just building the team and getting on board, you know, a very professional team that could be mentioned in the video, mentioned on the page. And then I launched the campaign, but I spent a great deal of time planning that launch. And I had some great advice from a contact in Seattle who gave me some really good tips. And he was very helpful and just, you know, reached out to various other filmmakers, various other people to get advice on how to do this, you know, because I, you know, this is my dream to do this film. So I didn't want it to fail. And launched it online. And the following day, Kickstarter emailed me to say that they loved the project. They were really impressed with it and they were going to promote it on their homepage, which was just incredible, you know, to get that on day one. So it appeared quite high in their ranking on day one. And from that, people were just discovering it, just complete strangers. I didn't send the link to my friends or family. I wanted people to pledge because they loved the story, not because they knew me or they felt they owed me or anything. I wanted them to invest in a story. And that's what happened. People just started discovering it. And because of that web traffic, it became the number one ranked short on Kickstarter. It was getting so much traffic. It was getting so much investment. And, you know, you're sort of looking at the numbers and thinking, you know, you set a target, which was 6,000. And that was a minimum to get a shooting because you don't want the campaign to fail. You don't want to ask for too much money. But you need enough to get going. And the interest was just incredible. And I was getting emails and messages about the story and about why has no one done this before. And it was getting a lot of heat. But still, you're looking at the number. You're still looking at, you know, the day 30 and thinking, yeah, we need to hit the 6,000. And we hit that after 2 weeks. About 10 days, and we hit the target, which is almost unheard of for a short film. And normally most people, you know, need the full 30 days to raise the finance. Rain hit it after 10 days. And it just, and I thought that would be it. You know, it would tail off. Like they say, the third week is always a slow week. And in the third week, we almost doubled the budget. The interest just kept growing and kept growing. And people were talking about it online. And it just got this word of mouth. People were responding. They loved the pitch video. They loved the page. They loved the website. And it was just getting this extraordinary reaction. So to date, it's raised $12,000, which is almost twice what was asked for. And the campaign ends on Friday. So there's still time for anyone who would like to be in our credits to pledge, or if they would like some of the perks, they can pledge.
And the link is right in the show description, so people listening to the show can click on the Kickstarter link and go right to the Kickstarter page.
So it's become, you know, Kickstarter put it on their homepage as a project we love, which is a category they have for projects that they really believe need promotion. And then it became a featured project. And it's just, you know, it's when you look up short films and drama, When the Rain Sets In was number one, and there was 6,000 other projects there. That's been the success level it's hit at. It's setting all kinds of records on Kickstarter, which is, you know, you can't even comprehend, and you feel very humbled by, because, you know, you're just wanting to hit that initial target. But the reaction to this story has been extraordinary. And, you know, it's made me feel very lucky and very fortunate and very grateful to everyone's pledge, because, you know, it's been just an extraordinary reaction. And it led to even, you know, radio shows like yourself and magazines contact me going, how did you do this? You know, no one does this on Kickstarter. I went to a talk at the weekend, and it was a very well-known funding organization, and they were talking about funding for short films. And they said, don't even ask for 10,000 on Kickstarter. It will never happen. You can't do it. And I did it after 3 weeks, which is unheard of. You know, I know this is the exception. Kickstarter obviously themselves have been maybe doing a blog post on it later, but it's created this, it's, you know, it's taken on a life of its own, the Kickstarter camp, since it's become, like you said, an example of how you can do it and how to be successful. And people have been asking all kinds of advice, you know, how do you make a campaign successful? And, you know, it's a simple answer to that. You just invest the time to make the project something that people want to invest in. Don't launch it until you have all the elements there, until it's a professional production that looks investable. And on top of that, you know, the audience is pledging in their droves and say they really want to see this love story on screen. You know, it's just been extraordinary from day one.
And I think it all starts with your commitment to this project. How much you wanted to tell the story helped you to sell it and help the video to have the authenticity it does. So congratulations on that. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back after this.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Crammell, one of the original hosts of Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry. Between the free lunch they get in school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday. And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at n68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to Kind Voice on Movies. Here with James Hughes talking about his film, When the Rain Sets In. James, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
So this is a really inspirational story. At its highest aspiration, what would you like to see the film become?
Well, I'm very ambitious. So I have two short films that have just been on the film store circuit. One's just come off now and is now available online. One is still got a few festivals left. So they were on the circuit at the same time. And such was their success on the festival circuit that they were screening somewhere in the world every 4 days. You know, one's gone into 75 festivals. They were getting a huge response like it. But this particular project is a much bigger story. It's a much bigger production. So I'm very ambitious in terms of where I want the project to go. We'll be entering it into all of the major Oscar and BAFTA qualifying film festivals. We'll see if we can hit the long list of any of those competitions. And more importantly, you know, as a filmmaker and as somebody that's had all these investors and kind comments about the film, make a great film that audiences around the world get to see. You know, as a filmmaker, I want everyone to see this, so I'll be sending it everywhere across the film festival circuit, and through the success of that short film, you know, we find that there's a real passion for this story from an audience perspective, and we can develop it as a feature film, because the actors the team involved, almost everyone involved, including those that have been pledging on Kickstarter, said, you know, this would make a great feature film. And, you know, they're very keen to see the full story. So, you know, it's a story I developed before I tightened it down into a short. So, yeah, very, very big ambitions for the project. This is the big one. So I'm going to give it everything I have.
Wow. I see it going to big places. How do you think the film can help people who are in this situation when the rain sets in? How do you think it could help them find their kind voices in that situation?
It's a good question, because in the film, it's something that's addressed in a few places in the film, because there is a constant discussion in terms of at what point is love real and what point is it an illusion. And it's a very fine line to knowing when you have to be kind to somebody in terms of how you break up with them, and at what point you have to be tough. And both Kinsey and Traden are constantly at odds with finding the right voice to handle this situation, because this is a new situation for them. And as an audience watching it, I'm hoping that it will inspire those that are in relationships, no matter what level those relationships are at, to approach them with a kinder voice. Because no matter who we're involved with, no matter what the situation is, you know, we should always seek to be the better person, and we should always seek to be the kinder voice in that relationship. And because it's important to be a good one. And I think in today's world, with everything that goes on, we sometimes forget that. And, you know, I'm somebody that's of that ilk as well. You know, no matter what's thrown at me, I always try and rise above that and you know, find the kindness in the scene. And I'm hoping that that comes across in the film, because this is a film that essentially is a love story. And I'm hoping that, you know, the audience really connects with that, and it helps them answer questions about their own relationship, inspires them in terms of how to handle their own relationships. So yeah, it's very much a film for the audience as well.
Wow. And you mentioned listening to music to inspire the dialogue, if I understood that correctly. And music is a more nuanced language than words. Is there any particular songs that you heard the music from and it kind of inspired dialogue or character actions?
Not particular tracks. It's more a case of tone, because I can see the film shot for shot in my head. And it's a particular tone. So there's certain tracks I can listen to, and it has a tone for that scene. But there's no one track that I would listen to and use as a theme for the score. But it's a very, you know, it's a very melancholy film, and it's those particular tracks. Obviously, people have suggested all kinds of tracks, like Singing in the Rain, which I love as a film, but there's no tracks from that film in this as an inspiration. But yeah, it's sort of a combination of some slower songs that I have in my library, and also some classical music. And it, you know, it has a softness to it. Now, the score for a film is very important to me. So one of the first people I brought on board is the composer, which is almost unheard of on a production. Normally they're brought on at the end. But I spoke to a composer that I know who lives in Los Angeles, and she got an Emmy Award for her work on the Fargo TV show. And she's amazing. I brought her on board early on because I want to work on the score throughout the production in terms of finding the right balance between the scenes, because I work not just visually in writing, but I can hear the music that's in that scene at all times, and I want to work on that as early as possible. I did that on my last film. It's something I'm always keen to do, because I think music, especially in short films, can be almost an afterthought. You know, so we shoot it, we edit it, and then, okay, what kind of score do we need? But I can hear it, I can see it, I can feel it, I can smell it. Everything about that film is in my head. And it's about finding the right people that you trust to then help bring that to the screen. And fortunately, on the score front with Amy, I have a composer on board that I know will create a score that will really move people. And I can't wait for to hear the score on this. It's going to be quite something.
Well, I'm excited to hear it. Very inspirational how I think the film is going to make a certain music that goes beyond the words. Is that what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I mean, for example, you know, I've done this in all my other productions, and my current short film, I did the same on that. The score was hugely important to me, and so much so that I worked on the score with the composer for several months until we had a score that I was really proud of, and he's amazing. And that score has taken on a life of its own because it's won awards now, and that score is now going to be performed by an orchestra in Fort Lauderdale for Mother's Day in the States. So that's come out of the short film and is now being performed, you know, by an orchestra in a separate event, which is, again, almost unheard of for short films. But that's sort of, you know, the intensity and the passion I have for scores in films, and finding the right score for a film is very important. And when you do, I want that score to then have a life of its own. I want it to be inspirational as a piece of music to other people's relationships, other people's lives. And that's what's happened on all the scores on the films I've worked on. So, and this will be the biggest so far. So
it's an exciting thing. Now, this film I kind of view as an exploration into how people handle when the rain sets in. From the time you started thinking about this film, what have you personally learned about how to handle situations when the rain sets in?
So it's a case of, you know, in relationships, we can be too hasty, and we can be too knee-jerk reaction to things that are said or to situations that happen. And with this film and with story, I want to explore how listening is so much importance in a relationship, and it's something that we don't do enough of. You know, we wait until the other person's finished talking and then rush in and say what we want to say, and this film really addresses that. And that's something that I've learned through life in terms of relationships, both love relationships and friend relationships. And, you know, through experience, it's a case of finding a calmness and a stillness where calmness and stillness is much needed. And I think that it's all too easy to become a different person when the pressure comes on. And it's very important to always be reminded of who we really are and not who we are when the pressure hits us. And yeah, I've learned that over time, as we all have. And I want to explore that on film. It's something that I've been very passionate about when I've watched other films. And yeah, and I'm hoping that people can take away from this film, you know, how important it is, no matter what the situation is that you're involved with, no matter what's going on in your own head, is to listen to the other person, to just sit down and listen to them, and to have a conversation and not react in a way that's contrary to who you really are, and not react in a way that you would not be proud of. And that's what I hope that this film brings to relationships and brings to an audience.
Those are really lofty goals, and it's a very, very wise thing you're saying. I want to take a final break, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Brianna Dentcher with your Good News Report, where we deliver happy and exciting news from all over the world. This week we have a very uplifting story from Lake Charles, Louisiana, where a firefighter rescued 6 beet ducks. The most interesting part is that he brought them to safety with the help of his iPhone. After he was notified that several ducklings had been caught in a drain, firefighter Cody Necht headed out to the location and created quite of a clever plan. He wriggled into the drain and got this bright idea to impersonate the duckling's mother using the quack, quack, quack ringtone on his iPhone. His idea did in fact work, and after about an hour and a half, four of the six ducklings were rescued. The remaining two came out later, and all six were finally reunited with their mother. This is definitely a very cute and unique story because it is not every day that you hear of someone spending so much time with such a brilliant trick to rescue little ducklings. In my opinion, Cody is definitely using his kind heart to bring more love to a neighborhood and is helping the small creatures in his community. This week's quote of the week comes from the great Dr. Seuss. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. Thank you for listening to today's report, and I hope that you continue to use your kind voice to bring happiness to others.
Kind Voice Radio.
And welcome back to Kind Voice on Movie. Talking with James Hughes. James, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so in the good news report, Brianna was talking about this, no one youer than you, and I love that Dr. Seuss quote. Do you think that your most authentic self, when you're calm and still and able to speak from your core?
Absolutely. People often say to me that I'm more patient than anyone they know, and I'm more tolerant than anyone I know. But that's deliberate, and that's because I always stop and I take a step back. And, you know, I want to remain calm because when I'm calm and I approach things through a calmness, a stillness, I approach them in the right way. And it's important as we move through life to always approach situations like that. That's come from my nature, from my upbringing. I'm a very calm, relaxed individual. And I like to have that situation in relationships and on film sets. You know, I like the sets to be very calm and relaxed. It's how I like to work. I think it's important to always seek that better you that's inside. And we all know who that is, but always think of that person before you react in a way that perhaps is not who you truly are. Just take a moment to consider who you really are before you react to something.
That's very sound advice, to take that moment to get back to your kinder self. Do you think this film has ideas that could be applied to other areas? For example, a new job when everything's all wonderful, and then after 6 months, problems start to set in to find your center and apply some of these ideas to a job or to other relationships.
Absolutely, because, you know, at its core, the film is about acceptance and rejection. It's about, you know, we've all been in those situations. We pour everything into a particular situation. And like you said, it could be a job. It could be a pastime. It could be any kind of activity. And for some reason or another, we don't get accepted the way that we thought we perhaps would. And we have to deal with that. The situation of acceptance and rejection applies to us on an almost daily basis. And it can be very difficult for anyone to handle rejection in any form of life, whether through jobs, through relationships. But you have to remember that it's through rejection that we become who we are meant to be. And it's a very important part of our learning experience. It's a very important part of shaping who we are. And I think people can lose sight of that, and they can get wrapped up in the rejection and feel that it's rejection of them permanently. And it's not. Rejection is always temporary. There's always better news around the corner. And you have to ride the storm, because it's a case of, you know, the person that you end up being, the person that you're being proud of, has been shaped by rejection. It's been shaped by accept. And they're very much important emotions that have to play out for us to be the person that we're meant to be.
It's interesting. I also see that in sports. I play tennis, and when you lose a point, I get upset by it, but then it kind of refocuses one to try to play a little bit better. In tennis, which is a simple example, but this goes to some of the bigger endeavors we engage in when things don't go right how to find out a way to dig deeper and deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I also played tennis when I was younger, and a lot of sport, a lot of soccer and other sports, and I have a very competitive nature in sport, but at the same sense, and I think this is important in whatever you do, you have to have a sense of humor, and there is a limit to that competitiveness. There's a limit to how you can look down on yourself, because you have to realize that no matter what the situation is, we're very lucky to be who we are. You know, there's a lot of people that don't get to live our lives. They don't, you know, they come from more difficult backgrounds, more difficult situations, and no matter what's thrown at us, we're very fortunate people, a lot of us. And, you know, it's a case of growing as a person so that hopefully the way that we react to something inspires somebody that perhaps doesn't have the strength to react the first time the way that we do. And I think that's important to always try and set an example.
James, you shared so many beautiful insights during the show, so I thank you for that. It's such a great example of a kind voice, so thank you. Is there anything I haven't asked that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So finally about the film, which was some news that we had at the weekend. So I entered it into a funding competition, not knowing how the Kickstarter would go, and they had 300 projects submitted for this competition, and When the Rain Sets In was announced as one of the 10 finalists,
wow.
Which is obviously an incredible endorsement on its own. And this meant going on stage at BAFTA and pitching it in the live final, quite similar to America's Got Talent. It was in front of a funding board. The audience is sitting there in the auditorium. So it was quite an interesting situation. And on the day, I found out that When the Rain Sets In was one of the winners. And so we've won additional funding on top of the Kickstarter. And we have this incredible team that's now going to support us through production. And yeah, it's a hell of an endorsement again for this particular story in this film. So I really hope that that your listeners can join us on this journey. We have a website as well, which I spent 3 months designing before I launched the Kickstarter or did anything, whentherainsetsin.com. And you can read more about the team. You can read more about the production. It's where we'll list photos, exclusives. So it's a great way to follow the production. And I really hope that we get to bring the film to where you are so that everyone can get to watch it.
Great. And we'll post a link to the website as well. You know, this is such a great thing you're doing, and I appreciate you taking this time to share it. Thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. It's been an honor. I'm very grateful, and thank you again.
That was James Hughes talking about his film, When the Rain Sets In, and there's so many great lessons in the things he shared, and the film seems to come from such an authentic place, and I think it's going to be very successful. It already has been. So I hope you go out and fund this Kickstarter and use your kind voice to make a difference. Have a good day, everybody. A friend.
walk down that lonely road alone, searching for a place to call home. The path is long, we cannot see the end, but the journey's so much better with a friend. Come to my house and rest those weary bones. We'll drink and laugh, we'll both refill our souls. That cup of cheer you're drinking sure tastes sweet. I'm glad that your acquaintance I did meet.